The moon, a silent sidekick in our night sky, has been wowing us for thousands of years. We've marveled at its glow, used it to track time, and woven it into enough myths and legends to fill a library. But here's the kicker. The closer you look at our lunar buddy, the weirder its story gets. In part one, we dove into how the moon shapes life on Earth and stumbled across some wild rabbit holes, secret projects, psychic experiments, UFO sightings, and those unsettling astronaut reactions. Each one added a layer to a puzzle that still doesn't have a clear picture. So, is the moon just a giant lifeless rock doing laps around us? Or is it part of something way bigger, maybe even intentional? Now, in part two, buckle up, because we're about to crank the weirdness up a notch. We'll dig into theories about where the moon came from, ancient tales like the Zulu story of a time before the moon. Yes, apparently that's a thing. And the boldest idea of all, that the moon isn't natural at all. What if it's engineered? And if that's the case, who had the blueprints? And what were they trying to pull off? For millions of years, the moon has lit up our nights, but its deepest mysteries are still hiding in the shadows. Is it just peacefully orbiting us? Or does it hold a secret so bonkers that we've barely scratched the surface of understanding it? The answer might change everything you know. Let's find out why. So far, we've dug into how much the moon pulls the strings on life here on Earth, and how it stubbornly keeps its biggest secrets to itself. From its odd seismic activity to wild tales like Project Horizon, Sergeant Wolf's claims, and those cryptic Apollo astronaut moments, one thing's for sure, the moon isn't just some boring space rock. But here's the real kicker. How did it even get here? Is it really just a random chunk of debris? Or is there something deeper going on? People have been wrestling with this question for centuries, tossing out theories that swing between solid science and, wait, did you just make that up? Territory. Now, we're about to dive into the possibilities. Could the moon be the cosmic equivalent of a happy accident? A fluke in the chaos of the universe? Or does its very existence hint at something deliberate? Maybe even engineered. We'll start with the mainstream scientific takes, the ones that won't get you side-eyed at a dinner party. Then we'll head straight into the weirder stuff, where things get way more fun. Buckle up. For thousands of years, people have been staring up at the moon, wondering, what's your deal, big glowing rock? From ancient myths to cutting-edge science, we've tried to piece together how Earth's cosmic roommate came to be. Scientists today have tossed out a buffet of ideas, from cosmic accidents to planetary collisions, that paint our solar system's early days as pure chaos. But here's the kicker. None of these theories ties everything up in a neat little bow. And then there's the wild card, the hollow moon hypothesis. Love it? Hate it, or roll your eyes at it, it's one of the most eyebrow-raising, head-scratching ideas out there. So let's dive into the theories, mainstream and mind-bending alike, and see how they stack up. The capture theory kicks things off for us. Picture this, the moon wasn't always Earth's trusty sidekick. Nope, it might have been a rogue asteroid or mini planet, minding its own business until Earth's gravity swooped in and said, nope, you're mine now. According to this idea, the moon got comfy in orbit and voila, a celestial nightlight was born. Supporters love pointing out that the moon's composition has a few quirks that make sense if it came from elsewhere in the solar system. Plus, back in the day, rogue planetary bodies were zooming around like bumper cars, so it's not totally far-fetched. But skeptics aren't sold, arguing the moon's story is probably a little more earthbound. Enter the fission theory, which cranks up the drama. Imagine young Earth spinning so fast it practically yeets part of itself into space. That runaway blob cools down, and boom, you've got the moon. Some even think the Pacific Ocean Basin might be the scar from this epic planetary meltdown. Fans of this idea love how it explains the moon's similarities to Earth's crust. But seriously, can you imagine Earth back then? A chaotic, molten mess spinning out of control? It's like a cosmic soap opera. Still, if Earth didn't pull this dramatic stunt, maybe the moon was born right alongside it. And that's where the co-accretion theory comes in, pitching the idea that Earth and the moon were cosmic siblings, formed together from the same cloud of dust and gas. Cute, right? It explains why they're so close, like family that can't escape each other. But hold up, if the moon's basically Earth's twin, why does it lack a decent iron core? Why is it so much less dense? And what's the deal with its almost too perfect orbit? These quirks make it hard to buy the idea of Earth and the moon being identical twins, or even half-siblings. Now, for the main event, the hollow moon hypotheses. Buckle up, because this one flips the script. The theory argues the moon isn't just a big lucky rock, it's an engineered object. Yep, some folks believe it's an ancient alien spaceship hollowed out and disguised with a rocky shell. Think cosmic fortress, not crater rock. This idea first hit the scene in the 1970s when Soviet scientists Mikhail Vasin and Alexander Shcherbakov floated the question, is the moon the creation of alien intelligence? They pointed to its weird physical and orbital characteristics, claiming they make more sense if it's a deliberate design. Now, fast forward, and authors like Christopher Knight and Alan Butler took things up a notch with their book, Who Built the Moon? They suggest the moon might be an intergalactic monitoring station or even a life-preserving ark. Proponents love bringing up the moon's odd ringing during seismic events, its strangely uniform craters, and its suspiciously perfect alignment for solar eclipses. Coincidences? Maybe, or maybe not. No matter the theory, mainstream or off the wall, the moon clearly knows how to keep us guessing. From fiery collisions to alien engineering, every idea tells a story about the chaotic, fascinating universe we call home. But here's a thought. While science wrestles with the big questions, what if ancient civilizations already had a few answers? Could their myths and stories hold pieces of the puzzle we're still trying to solve? The moon. It's always been there for us, quietly lighting up our nights and helping us keep track of time. But here's a curveball. What if the moon hasn't always been there? Ancient civilizations sure wrestled with that idea, spinning myths to explain its arrival. Some thought it was born alongside Earth, while others went even bolder, claiming there was a time when the night sky was moonless. Enter the Zulu people of southern Africa, who have one of the most intriguing takes on this cosmic mystery. According to Zulu oral tradition, there was once a world lit only by starlight, dim, peaceful, and blissfully untouched by the moon's glow or gravitational pull. Life moved slower. Nights weren't just dark. They were really dark. Then everything changed. The moon arrived, but not as some random cosmic accident. Oh no. This was a planned operation. The Zulus say two celestial brothers, Empanku and Empankwane, hollowed out a massive rock and rolled it into the sky. Just let that sink in for a second. Two guys casually crafting a moon and launching it into orbit. They weren't just showing off, though. The moon's arrival, according to their legend, reshaped everything. Tides, ecosystems, even the rhythm of life itself. This wasn't just a nightlight, it was a game changer. And here's where it gets even juicier. The Zulu described the moon as a hollowed out structure. Sound familiar? Modern theories about the moon's unusual density and internal makeup have raised similar questions. Were these ancient storytellers onto something? Could their myths be echoes of real events witnessed and passed down through generations? To the Zulu, the moon isn't just a big rock hanging in space. It's a deliberate creation, a cosmic engineering project carried out by two brothers with a vision. Mpanku and Mpankwain weren't just mythical figures. They were master builders, reshaping Earth's destiny with their celestial handiwork.
Hold up. The Zulu are saying there was a time before the moon, and then, bam, two dudes hollow out a giant rock and throw it into orbit. That's next-level storytelling. It almost sounds like they're describing something real, not just spinning a tale.
Exactly. It's not just two brothers' part. It's the details. A hollow structure, deliberate placement, and immediate environmental changes? They're not describing some random lump of rock. It's intentional.
And that whole time before the moon thing? If there's even a shred of truth to that, it flips everything we think we know about Earth and the moon. These aren't just bedtime stories. They're hints at something bigger.
The Zulu legend doesn't just entertain. It challenges us to rethink what we know about the moon's origins and purpose. Was it really just another natural satellite that lucked into orbit, or was its arrival part of some grand cosmic plan? If the Zulu are onto something, if the moon was created, it might hold a purpose far greater than just lighting up the night. Maybe, just maybe, it was brought here for a reason. All right, so we've heard it all. The moon as Earth's sidekick, cosmic accident, or even ancient alien craft. Now it's time to separate fact from sci-fi and see which theories actually hold up. Buckle up. This dive gets wild. Project Horizon wasn't some crackpot conspiracy. It was the real deal. A military plan to build a moon base, complete with nukes and self-sustaining setup. Basically, the ultimate Cold War flex. But then, out of nowhere, the whole thing was scrapped. Officially, they blamed costs and tech limitations. Sure, because governments never find extra cash for things they really want, right? Especially during the Cold War. So what gives? Did they find something or someone up there that made them think twice? Declassified documents drop some tantalizing breadcrumbs. Cryptic mentions of unexpected discoveries and plans for heavy-duty excavation tools and extra shielding, way more gear than you need for just solar radiation. It's almost like they were preparing for something big, like really big. Here's the thing, you don't sink millions into a moon base plan just to suddenly call it quits without a solid reason. The moon was the ultimate high ground, militarily and scientifically. If you're the Pentagon in the 1960s, you're not throwing in the towel because things got pricey. So yeah, shutting it down feels less like budgeting woes and more like we found something we can't deal with. So how do we classify this one? Project Horizon was 100% real. No debate there. But its abrupt end? Suspicious doesn't even begin to cover it. The official explanation feels thinner than moon air. Could they have discovered something that scared them off? Absolutely. But the lack of answers doesn't close the case. It cracks it wide open. This wasn't just an abandoned mission. It's a flashing neon sign that screams, "We're not telling you everything."
Oh, sure. Let's blow millions on planning a moon base, then suddenly decide it's too hard and expensive. That's totally how governments work, right? My money's on them finding something spooky up there. Breadcrumb trail? Nah, This feels more like a giant glowing billboard that says, "Yep, we found something weird."
All right, so now as you heard previously, the Zulu people have this mind-blowing story about a time before the moon, a world lit only by starlight until celestial beings decided Earth needed a nightlight. According to their mythology, these beings hollowed out a massive rock and carefully placed it in orbit. Not by chance, but on purpose. Bold, right? What's even wilder is how much this lines up with modern speculative theories about the moon being an engineered structure. So, how are we classifying this one? Well, the stories are real. They've been passed down for generations. Brushing them off as just folklore feels like a missed opportunity. Oral traditions often carry echoes of real events or knowledge, and the Zulu idea of a moonless Earth and its deliberate placement, well, it's way too specific to write off as coincidence. Sure, there's no hard evidence, but absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence. Maybe these myths are less about fantasy and more about history we haven't fully pieced together yet.
So, celestial beings hollow out a rock, plop it into orbit, and we go, "Nah, just a bedtime story." Right, because ancient civilizations had nothing better to do than workshop sci-fi plots for fun. Honestly, this sounds less like folklore and more like a history book we're too stubborn to read.
Okay, now Ingle Swan's remote viewing. Let's start with this. The CIA's remote viewing program was absolutely real. They threw actual taxpayer dollars at psychic experiment. Wild, right? Among the standout participants was Ingle Swan, who claimed to see artificial structures and humanoid entities on the moon. Swan wasn't just some guy making it up. People who worked with him vouched for his accuracy in other classified missions. So, brushing off his moon claims isn't as easy as it sounds. Here's where it gets weirder. Lunar exploration has given us some seriously strange images over the years. Let's break it down a little further. The Shard and the Tower. In 1967, NASA's Lunar Orbiter 3 captured images of a massive spire, the Shard, and nearby structure with sharp geometric lines, the Tower. These formations don't exactly scream natural geology. The castle. Apollo 16 snapped this hovering oddity in 1972. Some skeptics wave it off as a photographic glitch, but the shadow it casts and its precise positioning make you wonder, glitch or something more deliberate? Then we have the monolith. Fast forward to recent images from the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. There's this tall, vertical structure on the moon's far side that looks suspiciously intentional. While skeptics chalk it up to natural rock formations, others say, hold on, that's worth a closer look. Oh, and don't forget the weird lights. Apollo astronauts reported glowing phenomena on the moon's dark side. These weren't random flashes. They moved in ways that defy easy explanation. Advanced tech? Intelligent activity? Your guess is as good as mine. So, how are we classifying this one? Well, here's the thing. Swan's remote viewing accounts are intriguing, and those lunar photos are absolutely real. Whether you buy into remote viewing is the real question. If you're open to it, his descriptions of towers, lights, and maybe even moon inhabitants line up suspiciously well with photographic anomalies. If you're not into remote viewing, then it all feels like a jump into sci-fi. But let's be real, the CIA wasn't funding psychic experiments for giggles, and Swan's track record is hard to dismiss. Add in the Shard, the castle, and the monolith, and you've got a pile of mysteries that's tough to ignore. So maybe it's not definitive proof, but it's enough to make you wonder, what aren't we being told about the moon?
Oh, great. So Swan's remote viewing moon condos, NASA's photographing space castles, and the CIA's playing psychic bingo. And we're still supposed to believe the moon's just a rock. Sure, because glowing lights and spires are totally normal. At this rate, The moon needs a keep out sign and a homeowners association.
Next up, Sergeant Carl Wolf. Sergeant Carl Wolf's story about spotting high-res images of artificial structures on the moon's far side is a head-scratcher. Skeptics raise an eyebrow at his credibility. But here's the kicker. No one's ever fully debunked his claims. And let's be real. In the world of moon mysteries, the lack of a definitive no makes it all the more intriguing. Wolf's account fits snugly into a pattern of unexplained lunar anomalies, even if hard evidence is still MIA. Now let's shift to the Apollo 11 astronauts. Their post-mission press conference is legendary, not for what they said, but for how they acted. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins looked like they'd just walked out of a haunted house, not achieved humanity's greatest feat. No triumphant grins, no over-the-top excitement, just awkward, almost haunted expressions. Weird, right? So here's the big question. What's with the silence? NASA's tight protocols and Cold War-era secrecy suggest their experience may have been heavily edited for public consumption. Whatever they saw or didn't see, it clearly shook them, and decades of speculation haven't let that moment go. So, how are we classifying this one? Well, the Apollo 11 astronauts, absolutely real. These guys weren't amateurs. They were hand-picked, disciplined professionals who wouldn't crack under pressure. Their behavior post-moon landing wasn't just odd. It felt like the kind of odd that hints at a bigger story. The lack of transparency from NASA only fuels the mystery. Sergeant Wolf's story? Well, that's a grayer area. It's compelling and lines up with other reported moon oddities, but without corroboration or hard proof, it stays firmly in the maybe pile. Still, when you connect Wolf's claims with the astronauts' behavior, it starts to look like the moon might be hiding way more than just rocks and dust.
Oh, sure. The Apollo 11 crew was just shy after making history. Totally believable. Meanwhile, Wolf has the I saw something energy, but no receipts. Put it all together, though, the moon's starting to sound like the galaxy's most exclusive private club. Entry by invitation only, and no one's spilling the secrets.
Now the big enchilada. The giant impact hypothesis is the reigning champ of moon origin stories. Picture this, about 4.5 billion years ago, a Mars-sized protoplanet named Theia smashes into Earth in the ultimate cosmic fender bender. Debris goes flying, eventually clumping together to form the moon. Sounds epic, right? But let's kick the tires on this theory because there are a few dents you can't ignore. First up, isotopes. When the Apollo missions brought back lunar rocks, scientists discovered their isotopic fingerprints are nearly identical to Earth's crust. Think of isotopes as the DNA of rocks. They tell us where stuff comes from. If Theia had donated a big chunk of itself to the moon, we'd expect to find its signature in those rocks. But nope, no sign of Theia. The evidence suggests the moon is almost entirely Earth-derived, which doesn't exactly scream massive space collision. Then there's the moon's orbit. A crash that chaotic should have left the moon wobbling in a wonky elliptical path. Instead, we've got a nearly perfect circular orbit. Sure, proponents argue tidal forces smoothed it out over time, but skeptics point out that would have taken forever, and it still doesn't explain the precision we see today. And can we talk about the odds? For Theia to hit Earth at just the right angle and speed, everything had to line up perfectly. Too steep? Earth gets obliterated. Too shallow? Theia bounces off like a bad bank shot. And even if the collision was just right, the debris would still need to magically assemble into a moon that's the perfect size and composition. In the chaotic early solar system, with planets and asteroids playing bumper cars, that's a long shot at best. Critics also highlight some of the moon's peculiarities that this hypothesis can't fully explain. Its size relative to Earth is unusually large compared to other planetary satellites. Then there's its perfectly positioned orbit, creating total solar eclipses. A coincidence so precise, it feels less like luck and more like a cosmic design choice. Proponents of the theory lean on computer simulations to back it up, but skeptics counter that simulations can be tweaked to fit pretty much anything. At the end of the day, the giant impact hypothesis is dramatic and convenient, but those glaring gaps make it tough to swallow as the definitive answer. So how are we classifying this one? Plausible, but it's hanging on by a thread. On the surface, the giant impact hypothesis is the most widely accepted explanation. But when you dig deeper, the flaws are hard to ignore. Between the isotopic similarity, the improbability of a just right collision, and that suspiciously perfect orbit, it feels more like a cosmic Hail Mary than a slam dunk.
Oh, so a Mars-sized planet just happens to slam into Earth at the perfect angle, and boom! Out pops a moon that's practically Earth's twin. Yeah, sure, because cosmic coincidences are just that accommodating. Honestly, this theory has more holes than my grandma's colander, and she doesn't even make pasta.
Next up, the fission theory. The fission theory reads like something straight out of a Hollywood blockbuster. Picture this. A young molten Earth spinning so fast that a massive chunk of it tears away and launches into space. Voila, the moon is born, leaving behind what some say is the Pacific Ocean basin as a scar. Bold? Definitely. But viable? Not so much. Let's talk physics. For Earth to spin fast enough to fling off part of itself, it would need to rotate at an absolutely ridiculous speed. Think spinning so hard it doesn't just lose a chunk, it turns itself into a cosmic glitter. Spoiler alert, Earth never spun that fast. Planetary formation models show zero evidence of this breakneck rotation. Then there's the moon's orbit. If it was flung from Earth's equator, it should be perfectly aligned with our equatorial plane, but it's not. It's tilted about 5 degrees relative to Earth's orbital plane around the sun. That's a big oops for this theory, and it points to a way more complex origin story. And let's not forget angular momentum. When something gets ejected from a spinning object, it naturally stays in the equatorial plane. Yet, the moon's current orbit tells us that if it was yeeted into space, something else had to intervene to knock it off course. The fission theory doesn't even try to explain this glaring problem. Sure, the idea was popular for a while because it's simple, dramatic, and easy to visualize. But that's about all it has going for it. As planetary science has advanced, this theory has been firmly relegated to the cool story bro pile. It just doesn't hold up under scrutiny. So, how are we classifying this one? Debunked. Fully, completely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, debunked. The fission theory is fun to imagine and would make a great plot for a sci-fi flick, but it's got no legs in the realm of actual science. Let's toss it into the creative but no thanks category and move on.
Oh, so Earth decided to show off its intergalactic breakdancing skills, spun itself silly and flung the moon into orbit. Sure, and while we're at it, maybe it also invented disco. This isn't science, it's bedtime story material. Hard pass.
The capture theory has all the makings of a cosmic drama. The moon as a rogue wanderer, drifting through space like a celestial hitchhiker, only to be snagged by Earth's gravitational pull. Sounds pretty cool, right? Sure, but the more you dig into it, the less it holds up. For this theory to work, the moon would have needed to nail a cosmic dance routine so precise, it puts figure skaters to shame. If it came in too fast, it would have zipped past Earth like an over-caffeinated comet. Too slow, and we'd have a catastrophic moon-Earth collision on our hands. And even if the moon managed to hit the sweet spot, its orbit should be an erratic mess. like an awkward oval, not the stable, almost perfect circle we see today. That's a big red flag. Then there's the energy issue. A free-floating moon wouldn't have just gently slowed down and parked itself in orbit. It would have had to lose a ridiculous amount of kinetic energy, likely through massive collisions or tidal forces. But here's the kicker. There's zero evidence of such chaos. Earth's geological history is suspiciously calm, and the moon doesn't have the battle scars you'd expect from a braking maneuver of this scale. Supporters love to point out that the early solar system was a chaotic free-for-all. Anything could happen, they say. Sure, but anything doesn't explain the moon's suspiciously precise orbit or the complete lack of evidence for the catastrophic events this theory would require. Critics, and let's be honest, common sense, argue that while this idea isn't impossible, it's so wildly improbable that it might as well be. The moon's stable orbit and near-perfect positioning make this whole captured rogue idea feel more like a bedtime story than a legitimate theory. So, how are we classifying this one? Debunked. While it's a fun idea to imagine the moon playing interstellar hide-and-seek, the capture theory just doesn't hold up. Let's file this one under creative, but nope, and move on to theories that have at least a fighting chance.
Oh, so the moon just wandered into Earth's orbit, casually hit the brakes, and decided to chill forever in a perfect circle? Sure, because that happens all the time. This isn't a theory. It's the opening act of a bad sci-fi rom-com. Hard pass.
Next up, the Cole accretion theory. The Cole accretion theory is like the Hallmark card of moon origin stories. Earth and the moon, born together from the same cosmic cloud of dust and gas, growing up side by side. Sweet, right? Sure, until you look closer and realize the pieces don't quite fit. Let's start with the guts, or lack thereof. Earth has a dense iron core, powering its magnetic field and keeping things geologically lively. The moon? Not so much. It's mostly made of lightweight silicate materials, with barely a metallic core to its name. If they were formed from the same cosmic recipe, they should at least have similar ingredients. Instead, they're like siblings where one got all the nutrients and the other, well, didn't. Supporters of the theory argue that Earth hogged the good stuff, leaving the moon with leftovers. But come on, this isn't a cosmic potluck. The differences are way too extreme to just chalk up the random distribution. Then there's the orbit. Most moons have elliptical paths, wobbling around their planets like drunken dancers. But not our moon. It's out here with a nearly perfect circular orbit, stable as a rock star's sobriety claim, and sitting unusually far from Earth. If Earth and the moon formed together, their orbits should reflect the chaotic early solar system, not the suspiciously clean arrangement. Proponents like to wave the early solar system was chaotic flag, arguing anything could happen. Once again, sure, but that still doesn't explain why the moon's orbit is this smooth or why it's so wildly different in composition. These aren't minor inconsistencies, they're full-on deal breakers. So, how are we classifying this one? Debunked with zero hesitation. The co-accretion theory might sound nice and tidy, but it doesn't hold up under scrutiny. It's the kind of idea that looks great on paper, but collapses like a house of cards when the facts show up. Let's file this one under nice try and keep looking.
Oh, so Earth and the moon are cosmic siblings, but one got all the good genes, like an iron core and magnetic field, while the other got hollow vibes and a freakishly perfect orbit. Sounds less like siblings and more like the moon was adopted by aliens. Fun story, but it's not science.
And finally, the hollow moon hypothesis. The hollow moon hypothesis flips the script on everything you thought you knew about our lunar neighbor. Forget natural satellite. It suggests the moon is actually an engineered structure. Sounds like a sci-fi movie, right? But hold on. because the evidence backing this wild idea might make you reconsider. Let's kick it off with one of the weirdest clues. The moon rings like a bell. During the Apollo missions, NASA crashed a spent lunar module onto the moon, because science sometimes means hurling stuff at things. So what happened? Well, the moon reverberated for nearly an hour like a giant space gong. Later missions recorded the same bizarre phenomenon. Hollow moon fans say this could mean the moon is, well, hollow, or at least partially so. Skeptics argue it's due to the moon's dryness and lack of water. But the length and rigidity of those vibrations don't fit neatly into the usual geological playbook. Now, let's talk density, or the lack of it. The moon's average density is way lower than Earth's, leading some scientists to speculate it doesn't have much of a core. Hollow moon proponents take it further, suggesting vast underground cavities or even lightweight, ultra-strong materials could make up its interior. Sounds crazy, sure, but those numbers don't lie. And craters? Here's a real head-scratcher. On Earth, craters vary in depth depending on the size of the impact. Sounds like common sense. On the moon, they're oddly shallow, no matter how massive the impact. Hollow moon believers think this could point to a hard metallic layer under the surface, a kind of protective shell. Critics dismiss this as unique lunar geology. But let's be real, that feels suspiciously convenient. Then there's the moon's orbit. Not only is it nearly perfectly circular, but it's positioned at just the right distance to create total solar eclipses. Here's the math for you. The moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, but it's also 400 times closer to Earth. Coincidence? Traditional science says, sure, why not? But hollow moon supporters think it's more likely by design. Honestly, it's hard not to see the moon as less of a cosmic accident and more like a carefully calibrated stabilizer for Earth, controlling tides, axial tilt, and life itself. Still not strange enough for you? Hold my beer. Let's talk about the moon's atmosphere, or the lack thereof. In 1971, a mysterious cloud of water vapor suddenly appeared and covered the moon's surface for 14 hours. Yeah, you heard that right. 14 hours. For an object that's supposedly bone dry with no atmosphere, just a dead rock. This was a serious curveball. And speaking of strange phenomena, then there's also the glowing mist in the Plato crater that scientists have documented for years. It just hangs out there, unexplained, like the moon's personal nightlight. If that's not unsettling enough, how about the boulder tracks scattered across the moon's surface? Some of these tracks, bizarrely, go uphill. Yeah, let me say that again, uphill. So what's moving these massive rocks? And why? Then, there are the strange lights flickering across the moon, sometimes visible even to the naked eye. These events happen so often that they've earned their own term, transient lunar phenomena. Oh, and then we can't forget the Aristarchus crater, often called the Blue Gem for its bright, otherworldly blue glow. Scientists have noted its unusual activity for decades, but no one's quite sure what's going on there. Skeptics hand wave all of this as natural oddities. But here's the rub. Mainstream science doesn't have solid answers either. As Carl Sagan famously said, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. So how do we classify this theory? Well, it's tricky. Mainstream science has plenty of neat explanations, but they don't fully cover the seismic ringing, uniform craters, perfect orbit, or those transient phenomena. When I first started looking into the hollow moon theory, I figured it would be a fun dive into the wild side of pseudoscience, a tinfoil hat funny kind of deal. But now, I'm not so sure. Honestly, the gaps in traditional theories are harder to swallow than the hollow moon idea itself. Call it far-fetched if you like, but this one's got some serious legs, or at least enough mystery to make you wonder if we're looking at something far more advanced than a glorified rock.
Sure, let's just chalk up perfect eclipses, bell-ringing seismic activity, and uphill-moving boulders to random chance. Because that's totally how science works, right? If this moon isn't an engineered artifact, then we're either the luckiest species in the universe or the most oblivious. Probably both.
The moon is a constant companion lighting up our nights, shaping our world, and inspiring everything from ancient myths to sci-fi epics. It's been hanging out up there through every chapter of human history, yet we still don't have its full story. For all its familiarity, the moon remains one massive cosmic question mark. From seismic quirks to its too-perfect-to-be-random orbit, and from ancient legends to modern mind-bending theories, the moon isn't just a rock in the sky. It's a full-on enigma. And let's be real, if the moon's presence isn't just a happy cosmic accident, what does that mean for us? Are we part of some grand design so intricate it's been hiding in plain sight? Or are we just so busy congratulating ourselves on our assumptions that we're missing the answers staring us right in the face? Here's the kicker. The moon's mysteries aren't just fun trivia to whip out at dinner parties. They remind us why we're human, because we can't stop asking, what if? Solving these puzzles isn't just about satisfying curiosity. It's about embracing the messy, uncomfortable questions that force us to rethink everything. Maybe when we look up at that glowing sphere, it's not just about figuring out its secrets. Maybe it's a nudge to admit that the universe is way weirder and maybe even more intentional than we like to think. Now, let me be clear. I don't have all the answers about the moon. Heck, I probably don't even have most of the questions. But this channel is a sandbox for exploring the unknown, poking at the speculative, and diving into the delightfully fringe. Because no matter how wild an idea seems, it's worth a closer look. My goal isn't to sell you on one theory or force a tidy narrative. I'm just a guy with a snarky owl sidekick, unpacking the weird and laying it all out so we can inch a little closer to the truth, whatever that may be. And speaking of truth, here's the rub. I don't care if the moon is a natural satellite, a giant spaceship, or some sort of cosmic art project. What I do care is when legitimate questions get waved off or dismissed. When governments and institutions act like we're kids who can't handle the big stuff. That's when it gets personal. So here's the deal. As the unanswered questions stack up and mainstream explanations start wobbling like a bad Jenga tower, the burden of proof isn't on the curious, it's on the experts. If they want us to buy into their neatly packaged theories, they better bring the receipts. Science is not faith, it's evidence. And if they don't have it, they owe us more than a shrug. Prove it. Thanks for hanging out with me on this wild ride today. I'm Ralph, that's Wendell, yeah, the sarcastic one, and you've just wrapped up another fascinating adventure on divergent history. If you laughed, learned, or just didn't hate it, do me a favor, hit subscribe, share this video, and tap all the buttons that make the YouTube algorithm gods happy. Seriously, the big channels get all the attention, and us small fry? We're basically running on your clicks and goodwill. But here's the deal. You're not just a viewer. You're the secret ingredient that makes this channel what it is. Your curiosity, your off-the-wall theories, and your what-if questions are what keep this going. So what's your take on today's episode? Do you have a theory that's so wild even Wendell would raise an eyebrow? Or maybe an idea for our next deep dive? Drop it in the comments. I actually read them all. And yeah, your idea just might become the next video. Also, feeling fancy? If you want to go the extra mile, consider joining the Divergent History crew over on Patreon. You'll get some exclusive perks, and let's be honest, you'll also be keeping the lights on around here. Think of it as your good deed for the day, and you get some cool stuff out of it too. Remember this, we're not just making videos here, we're digging into the stories they'd rather sweep under the rug. You are the heart of this journey, and I can't wait to explore the next story with you. So until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and know that you are truly appreciated. Catch you next time.
And hey, don't forget to keep those wild theories coming. We love them.